A Story Publishing presents Deadly Inheritance. Alan Crane had grown used to the jaundice of the Yale Virology Lab's fluorescent tubes, their buzz a perpetual dusk, no matter the hour. Above ground, the campus slept, quad empty, libraries shuttered, but the lab's ventilators pressed on, humming in the stale air as Alan checked the evening's final PCR run. His battered laptop groaned under the strain, yet he found solace in the mechanical sameness. Load, wait, record, repeat. Order was rare currency in a world thick with rumor about a contagion creeping at the edges. He kneaded the knot at the base of his skull. It always flared when he thought of his father. Among scientists, Dr. Crane still conjured war stories. The visionary virologist, discredited, vanished. Alan had grown in that shadow, inheriting both his father's sharp instincts and the suspicion dogging every new Crane hypothesis. The puzzle of disease beckoned as fiercely as it repelled. He scanned a fresh set of genomic data, blinking at the odd uptick in replication rates. Anomalies weren't uncommon, he reminded himself, but lately even diseases behaved with new unpredictability. Footsteps slid over old linoleum. Maya Patel slipped through the anteroom, clutching a case crowded with dials and tubing. Worry pinched around her eyes. Hair in a loose ponytail, lab coat askew, she grinned anyway. "Didn't think you'd still be here," she murmured, voice lower than usual. "Need your spectral rig for one more pass. The grant office won't sign off until this filter gets stressed to hell and back." Alan gestured her nearer. "You sure tonight's the night? There's talk. New protocols. Maybe a lockdown." "My brother's got brittle diabetes. If this bug's as bad as the rumors, I want my design proven, not pretty. He needs a real mask. I'm not waiting for official reassurances." Her hard-won precision had long frictioned against his doubt. He cleared a workstation, cautioning, "Vacuum still sticks. If the seal fails, knock the left plate." "Cutting-edge science," she said, smile gathering a nervous edge. They worked quietly, hands moving with the choreography of repeated trials. Alan found himself watching her, steady hands, pressed lips, courage stitched from love and dread. He wondered how much of his own drive was less about the virus, more about the shape of old debts. He was about to close the chamber when the outer door swung wide. A woman stepped in, crisp black suit, ID badge half concealing its seal. Petra Morales, Department of Homeland Security. Her every movement radiated guarded calculation. Somewhere beneath the professionalism, Alan caught fatigue. "Alan Crane?" She approached, voice clipped. "If you've got a minute, I have questions. It's about your father." Air thickened. Maya set her case down, jaw tightening. Alan drew himself up. "My father's not exactly answering calls, if that's what you mean." "Rumor says this new strain traces back to his early experiments, classified procedures, ahead of anything in open literature. Some tests flag it as routine, others as dangerously virulent. Inconsistency worries us. Either the data's compromised, or the bug mutates fast. Both are bad news." "With respect," Maya said, "what can Alan add that your own people can't?" Morales allowed a flicker of sympathy. "If anyone can read Crane's logic, it's family. And the pace here, it's off. Faculty missing, university memos confused. Whatever's happening, it's accelerating, and the official story has cracks." "I'll look at your data," Alan said. "But you should know, straightforward was never my father's strong suit." Morales nodded. "If you see anything tonight, keep it between us, for your safety, too." She started to say more, but sirens split the lab's quiet. A voice over the PA howled for immediate curfew. Emergency strobes turned the corridor red and white. Morales pressed a finger to her comm. "Earlier than expected, something's triggered a full lockdown." She angled her head. "Check the hall. Hazmat? Containment crew?" Alan moved to the window. Teams in full suits wheeled carts down the corridor. Outside, crews herded students toward makeshift checkpoints, faces obscured behind mirrored visors, movement too regimented for accident. "We can't stay," Morales said. "Quarantine means Sterling Library locks down first. That's our extraction point." She thumbed her phone. "There's an op waiting. I need both of you." Maya's anxiety cracked through. "Run into a closed library in the middle of a campus lockdown?" "That's why it might work," Alan said. He grabbed his coat, dropped a drive in his pocket. "Coming?" She nodded, white-knuckled around her prototype. "If the rumors are real, we need somewhere the algorithms can't reach us, or at least time to think." They slipped out, keeping low between abandoned carts. Lights strobed, footsteps echoed, drills had always carried a whiff of theater. Not tonight. Outside, bleach stung the courtyard. Searchlights raked gothic spires, a helicopter cutting a beam across stonework. Panicked figures darted along pathways, faculty and undergrads alike. They circled to the library's rear. Sterling's bronze doors bristled with security, hydraulic locks clamping into place. A bullhorn thundered. All buildings quarantined. Remain where you are. Morales eyed an auxiliary entrance near the loading dock. Sub-basement tunnels connect there. Maya hissed. Why's federal brass set on slipping into a library with us? What you need, when you need it, Morales replied. The faster we move, the less interest this draws. What matters is your father's work, and you, Alan. None of this is chance. They ducked through the side entrance and down a stairwell. Above, a steel divider slammed. In the narrow corridor, the air tasted of mildew and cellulose, a different breed of history than daylight halls. Morales forced a rusted maintenance door. Behind it, a tunnel sloped off beneath the foundations. Weak sodium lamps barely pushed back the dark, each step sending echoes into stone. A slam reverberated behind them. The tunnel shuddered as quarantine barriers locked. Morales, reading her phone, frowned. Perimeters sealed. Extractions ahead. Move until I say otherwise. Alan glanced at Maya, her face half-lit and flickering gold. For a heartbeat, he felt the weight of the walls closing in. The only sounds were footsteps, the drip of condensation, and the hush of old secrets settling behind them. Normalcy already shrinking to a rumor as the tunnel swallowed them whole. Moist air clung to their lungs as they pressed on. The hiss of distant ventilation underscored a new urgency, like the breath of some subterranean colossus. Alan's heart beat sharp beneath his ribs. In the unsparing flicker of bulbs, Maya's cheekbones looked carved by fear. Morales pushed ahead, every step controlled. Somewhere overhead, a door thundered shut. Morales spun, hand raised. We have to clear the perimeter. By now there'll be more eyes than walls. Is the extraction still on? Alan asked. Not by air. Chopper can't get clearance. We'll need another way. She snapped a corroded padlock, then led them up narrow steps into a cramped service alcove behind Sterling's mechanical rooms. An overhead hatch revealed sirens and blue wash floodlights. Maya braced her neck. If we're grounded, there's nowhere to run except into the teeth of it. Route? Loading dock behind the science wing. Less cover, fewer patrols, Alan said. They cracked the hatch. Across a ribbon of concrete, a campus security van blocked the drive. A single floodlight bled on pale hedges and tipped trash bins. Distant voices filtered through static. Morales beckoned. Shadow the hedge line. Curve north. Eyes up. No heroics. They darted into the open. Alarms keened in the quad. Two men in hazmat swept the lawn, canisters raised. Their visors glinted. No faces, only blind authority. Alan's stomach pitched as students were herded to their knees. Morales dragged them behind a trash bin. They sprinted across slick grass and pressed to the marble colonnade. Every step tighter, every breath the sum of calculation and chance. An ambulance fishtailed to a stop on Trumbull Street. The passenger door burst open. A paramedic craned out. Get in if you want a shot. No guarantees. Morales flashed her badge. DHS, official use. Wheels yours. Calls mine. The paramedic grunted. Exhaustion blunting wariness. Name's Devin. Don't puke in the back. He hit the siren as Alan and Maya crouched among bandages and IV kits. The city blurred. Looters shattered glass, faces half-masked, scattered by the screaming siren. Alan's phone pinged once, enough to key the kill code wiping the lab's drives. Thousands of hours reduced to a progress bar, then nothing. It felt like plunging a knife between bones, yet bitter relief followed. Devin threaded alleyways until streetlights dwindled. At last, a chain-link gate loomed, beyond it an isolated runway guarded by military trucks. A C-130 crouched beneath oily spots. Morales jerked her chin. This is us. Go. Devin nodded, knuckles white on the wheel. Hope you've got somewhere to land. He drove off without looking back. The hold was already full, families wedged between crates, one officer counting heads. Alan pressed against an oxygen tank, Maya nestling her metal case between her knees. The doors slammed, engines revved, the world shrank to vibration and stale breath. Morales buckled into a cargo net. Alan harnessed himself and pulled Maya close. Routes aren't safe, Morales said. We avoid Philly, try for Western airspace. If we lose comms, we keep moving anyway. We're far past permission. Turbulence hit, a jolt that knocked hope loose. Red bulb snapped on. An alarm blared, too raw to misread. A soldier stumbled in, voice shaking. Brace for hard landing. We might not hold altitude. Orange fire erupted aft, sucking oxygen into a wildfire howl. The hull ruptured. Pressure vanished. Alan snatched Maya as wind and smoke whipped debris through the bay. The descent became wreckage, steel groaning, bodies thrown like dice. When grinding stopped, he lay half buried. The nose of the C-130 pointed into broken earth, tail half gone, air rattling with shouts and thin cries. Alan crawled free, side screaming. Maya was pinned beneath sheet metal, blood radiating across her sleeve. He pulled her loose. Morales appeared, bleeding at the forehead, sleeve scorched. We're on our own till sunrise, she said. That was no accident. Someone wanted this flight silenced. Gunfire crackled from the field's edge. Refugees folded behind engine parts. Alan pressed Maya flat as Morales returned fire. A bullhorn blared. National Guard authority. A captain stepped from the tree line, tall, rifle at his side. Cease fire. If you can walk, don't shoot. Come out slow. Morales hesitated, then raised her voice. Identify yourself. Captain Harrow, Pennsylvania Guard. Transport a quarter mile west. Move now or stay pinned. Within minutes, stretchers appeared. Survivors loaded in silence. Just breath, movement, the rotten fruit of adrenaline's hangover. Harrow's gaze swept the wreck. Lucky anyone's alive. Sabotage, most likely. We get every breathing soul on the trucks, then gone. The convoy drove half an hour through blacked-out lanes. Alan sat wedged between metal and Maya's sweat-damp shoulder, mind circling unfinished prayers. Morale scanned farmyards, hand never far from her weapon. At a crossroads, Harrow stopped. Orders say move civilians west. East is a mess. We don't force anyone, but stay and you're on your own. Morales drew Alan aside. Harrow takes us to Pittsburgh, then west on I-70. If your father's involved, anything east will bury the truth. Alan glanced at Maya, exhaustion shadowed behind her resolve. West, then. If answers lie there, so be it. Dawn came pale, laying mist over battered trucks. At a way station, they rationed supplies and whispered debates too heavy to finish aloud. A corporal thrust a scorched flight recorder at Morales. She heaved it to Alan. See what's inside. We're running out of places to trust. They rolled on. I-70 buckled with old collisions and fresh burnout. Gunfire sputtered in the distance, reminders the crisis was more than microbes. Near Wheeling, an engine died. Argument flared. Tempers frayed. Alan found Maya on a guardrail, rubbing her bruised leg, prototype tight in hand. You think the crash was fate? She asked. Or someone tying up loose ends? Doesn't matter, he said. We're still moving. Your filter. We'll get it working. Life on the other side. By sunset, they halted outside a Kansas town, drained to stubborn ghosts. Locals met the convoy with kitchen knives, backing down only after Harrow's shout cut the dark. Shelter came in a cinderblock hall acrid with the memory of too many fearful nights. Inside, Maya sagged into a chair while Alan scanned a crowd thin on calories but thick in wariness. Morales and Harrow huddled with locals, plotting roads or listening for rescue. A battered television sparked to life, static and interference. On screen, a half-lit silhouette, mask, screen glow, spoke in a distorted voice, specter calling. Conversation died. Morales grimaced, recognizing the agitator who haunted government comms. This crisis is no accident, Specter intoned. Certain officials, Dr. Franklin Crane among them, played with fire they can't unmake. Footage followed. Sealed labs, recent date stamps, white coats around bright vials. In one shot, a figure turned. Dr. Crane. It's him, Maya whispered. Specter spliced memos and trial logs, then dropped to a final note. Leak came from inside. Crane's strain reshaped the threat. Want safety? Demand truth. The screen cut out. Eyes swung to Alan. Heat of judgment thrummed through the room. Morales stepped between him and the gathering storm. A man pointed at Alan's chest. Why trust you? If Spectre's right, you're the devil's kin. Alan stood straight. My father left more holes than answers. I won't run from whatever part I play in stopping this. If you're looking for vengeance, it ends here. Before anger could flare, an older townsman intervened. We're alive by luck. Let's not spend it fighting ghosts. Hostility eased. Morales exhaled. We stay tonight. At dawn, decisions are yours, but risk climbs every hour we sit. By morning, the alliance had splintered. Half the convoy stayed, half left. Harrow wiped dust from his brow. We keep driving. Through waning daylight, Alan tried to comfort Maya, her silence laced with doubt. Morales grew terse, steering them toward whatever lay west. They crossed emptiness, fields, fast-fading sunset, a roadside motel beneath broken neon. Inside, derelict rooms, peeled wallpaper, evidence of panic's quiet exit. They claimed shelter in a sagging corner room, candles blooming on an overturned nightstand. Morales pressed the point. We need proof, not rumor. That footage, if true, we can't wait. We move west, find the source, crack this black box wide. Alan, your father's involved, whether you want it or not. Alan stared at the recorder, echoing old lectures on the cost of knowledge. If we find a real lab, maybe answers follow. Here, we're just shadows. Maya fussed with her bandage. If we don't move fast, fear eats us alive. Morales sank into a chair. Candlelight hollowed her face. None of us gets through this clean, but we keep pushing. Alan, we need you. He nodded, defenses eroding. Maya's uncertain gaze held the final question. When it comes to the wire, will you stand with what's right or with the last of your family? Exhaustion seeped through their bones. Morales nudged the flame to surrender. Alan rested on threadbare carpet. Maya pressed close, sleep tugging them toward a fragile pause. The motel shuddered with wind, its shell just sturdy enough to keep the night at bay. Somewhere in the darkness, the world's old certainties flickered out. Yet for a moment, hope, thin as breath, hung between them, carried on the possibility of morning. They drove west until highways gave out, pavement cleaving into gravel, land buckling into wilderness. Towns dissolved to dim memories, an arson-blistered motel, a gas station with windows shot through. Maya's fever worsened. She clung to her metal case, tremor insistent. By dawn, sweat beaded her forehead. By nightfall, she drifted in and out. The sawtooths edged into view at last. A battered sign, half swallowed by underbrush, read Salmon River Scenic Byway. Fuel just a rumor, they eased onto an abandoned logging turnoff. The forest pressed in tight. Supplies dwindled, ration bag, filter, sidearm, Alan's father's keycard, the black box, Morales hugged like insurance. They walked single file along a forgotten trail. Morales took point, Alan stayed close to Maya, watching each step cost her. Mid-afternoon, the forest peeled back to a ring of brushless dirt. In its heart, concrete bulging from the slope, half-swallowed by wire fencing. Morales dropped behind a stump, glassing the open space. Motion sensor, turret under that camo net, his welcome mat. A drainage channel offered cover. They pried it open, slithered through dank runoff, then into a dim corridor marked by scuffed linoleum and flickering bulbs. The air tasted of chemical ghosts. A voice crackled overhead. Female, metallic. Alan Crane, Agent Morales, Miss Patel, you're late. Spectre. No distortion now, just impatience. They followed her to a battered control room. Spectre removed her half-mask. I needed witnesses. There's a cure beyond this or another disaster. She led them deeper. A cargo elevator groaned them down to a hangar gouged into stone, lit by harsh LEDs. On a riser, medical bays glimmered. Franklin Crane stood supervising loading, coat and bearing, untouched by dust. She needs the pod, Alan barked. Crane didn't hesitate. Bay 1, all clearance. Morales and Alan half-carried Maya inside. Spectre hovered, eyes darting. Crane worked triage with cold efficiency. Vitals falling. We'll run the filter under overload. Her prototype is the only thing that can clear the variant. He keyed instructions. Alarms escalated. Outside, operatives in masked gear flooded the hangar. Morales fired at a turret swinging down. Spectre shouted, I'm enacting release, run! Amid gunfire, they scrambled. Crane sent the cure sequence public through Spectre's console. Genomes, licenses, the ledger of who knew what when. Data bled into satellites and mirrors worldwide. Quiet finally settled. Maya's pulse steadied. Crane offered Alan a way out. Stay hidden, shape the aftermath. But Alan refused. No more hiding. We help heal what's left. Tell it straight. Crane's acceptance was a quiver in hands used to fixing what shouldn't break. He slipped away, duffel in hand, toward uncertain exile. Sunlight washed the surface deck. No sign of Crane's chopper, only the hush of wind and the cicada buzz of failing circuitry. Below, a valley ghosted in gold. Spectre read new alerts, copies of the formula multiplying across scientific boards, calls for accountability. Let's find a way down, Morales said. We'll meet the world however it shows up. Spectre lingered. Don't let them build another silo. Alan nodded. He steadied Maya, each step forward proof of choosing life over retreat, hope over secrecy. Above the forested ridges, a thin blue sky unraveled, alive with the color of beginnings. The truth, once freed, might haunt its keepers, but it also might heal. That would have to be enough. Thank you for choosing A Story Publishing.